Christian greetings this morning. It's rather chilly out there. It's good to be together in the house of the Lord, a place where it's warm. For a opening meditation this morning, if you want to turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6, I'd like to talk about mainly two people. Think of two main characters here this morning. It's interesting, this passage, we're going to read verses 8 through 20, very familiar story, but it came to me this past week and just was a blessing to me. And one thing that was interesting to me is read this passage, you notice only one character is named, and I believe there's only one, and that is Elisha. So the rest of them we probably figure out who some of them are. Let's just read the passage there, starting with verse 8. This follows right after we have the recovery of the lost axe head, whether it came right after that or there was probably some time involved there, but we know how that the story where the axe head, one of the prophets lost the axe head, fell into the water, and he was very distressed about it, and Elisha threw out a stick and the steel floated. Well, starting in verse 8 here, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servant, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which one of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore send ye thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness, according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were coming to Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink, and go to their master. And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. It's a very interesting story. It's an interesting story to read, and probably one of the favorite Bible stories. But here, Ben-Hadad was probably the king of Syria. He was a constant enemy of Syria. And here we have him strategizing against Israel. He would set up an ambush against it, but it always failed. Time after time, the Israelites would second-guess him, it seemed, and their ambush was foiled. Well, finally, a very frustrated king said to his army generals, he said, would you tell me which one of you is for the king of Israel? He knew they had a spy in their midst, but he had at least one servant that remembered about something about the prophet in Israel. You know, was it one that was with Naaman when he was healed? Now, some feel that story comes after that one. I'm not sure. I don't have any strong feelings about what the order is, but I would tend to feel that Elisha probably had a different servant with him here rather than Gehazi, so it could very well be afterwards. But however that is, this servant, Ben-Hadad's servant, told him, he said, "It's Elisha, the prophet. He tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedchamber." He said, "Your bedroom is bugged. Everything you're saying, he knows." Well, Ben-Hadad decides if he's going to get anywhere, he's going to have to get rid of this man. And rightly so, but he wasn't thinking very far. He wasn't thinking very deeply or giving much consideration to the God that Elisha served. Why did Elisha know these things? And maybe he was. He sent a great army to get this one man. He wasn't taking any chances. And when these people in Dothan woke up the next morning, they were surrounded. And Elisha's servant, I can just imagine, he went out, just daybreak, he went out there and he could just make out all these chariots and horses around there. And he says, he comes in dismayed. He says, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" You know, the situation was impossible, humanly speaking. They couldn't fight their way out of this. There was only two of them in this little town. You know, he saw themselves and he saw the enemy. But what he failed to do, what he wasn't seeing, he was omitting the third party. There was two sets of chariots out there. And he only saw one. These were chariots of fire. You know, chariots that made Ben-Hadad's look like less than tinker toys. Powerless against the Almighty. Just three thoughts here that I'd like to think about comparing with us today. You know, the enemy has surrounded us. You know, we live in a fallen world. There's evil on every side. There's sickness, temptation, sorrow. There's tragedy and loss. Problems with personal relationships. Economic difficulties. Failures. You know, finally, we must all face death physically. Elisha's servant said, "What shall we do?" Now, the answer is found in faith. Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's when the child of God is aware of the presence of Christ in his or her life that they're able to face the trials of life and by faith come through victorious. And it's through these trials that their light shines the brightest. 1 Peter 4:14 says, "If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified." Number two, God is greater than the enemy. You know, this servant, he saw the odds from a human perspective. He forgot to put God in the equation. You know, Ben-Hadad forgot to put God in the equation. In Elisha's day, unseen by physical senses, the presence and the providence of God was there. You know, they couldn't see that physically, but it was there. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And do we see, can we see those chariots of fire? And we're not promised a life without trials, without suffering, but the child of God is promised absolute and final victory. Every tear shall be wiped from our eyes. God will deliver his children. Notice the three steps that Elisha followed. First, he prayed, "Open his eyes." And I believe there was a lot more prayer involved there through the night. But he prayed that the Lord might open his servant's eyes so that he could see. Your prayer is an essential part of the Christian life. It says, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And what he was seeing wasn't temporal things. He was looking up. And the third thing, obedience. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And if we have our anchor in Christ, we can stand on that, and we can know that regardless what happens, God will be with us, and we can be the victor. Let's kneel for prayer.